to the Nehemiah Podcast. I'm filling in for your host, Patrice Tege. My name is Charles Kearse. And today I'm so delighted to have with me attorney Jacinta Mathis. Jacinta, welcome to the broadcast.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. So how's everything down in sunny Florida?
Well, it's a little cloudy. You know, we're having some remnants from a hurricane that hit Texas and Louisiana. I have a lot of family and friends there. We've been praying for them and and really looking to see what it is that we're going to be able to do. FEMA's already mobilized, and so we're really looking to see what the devastation will be. So they're in our prayers.
Yeah, we certainly need to keep them in our prayers. And I actually want to start this broadcast because we're living in some crazy times, but we want to be able to focus on the good things that are happening, because there's a lot of good things happening in the midst of all this darkness. And so I want to read a scripture, start us off with a scripture as we talk about arising and building from the inner core, and really taking a posture to know that we're going to come out of all the things that are happening, COVID-19, the social unrest, this political season, now the hurricanes hitting. I mean, there is a lot happening. And if you focus on the wrong thing, then you tend to be bogged down and stressed out on things that really you don't have control over. And what we want our listeners to do today, as we talk about the Nehemiah Project, talk about its effect on our lives. We met and we were actually engaged in one of the first classes there in Orlando at the Hope Church, right?
That's right.
And so Nehemiah has grown. We have grown. Our businesses have grown. We're anticipating that through the turmoil, through all that we're going through, that we all will grow and become everything that God intends for us to be. And as we do that, we know that one of the surefire ways to do that is to build your life, your business, your family upon the rock of God's word. Because here's the truth. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never fail. And so as we build our lives upon the solid rock of God's word, on the not only the principles of God's word, but the relationship that we are afforded to have through Christ Jesus, the word of God. You know, some people only see Jesus as a religious person, a religious symbol. But really, he came that we might have an intimate relationship with the Father. So intimate that Father God would partner with us in everything that we do and literally become our chief business partner. Right? We can call on him. You know, when you think about the earth, it belongs to him. Everything in the earth belongs to him. And then he's given us the opportunity to be stewards over particular parts of it. So I'm going to read this scripture here in Proverbs chapter 3. And then I'm going to open us up in prayer and pray specifically for the recovering of lives and property damage down south in New Orleans, where your folks are from. But it says, Proverbs chapter 3, it says, verse 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days, long life, and peace shall be added to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them on thy neck and write them upon the table of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path.
Amen.
You know, when we think about what's going on, we really want God. God, we need you. Father, we need you to be involved in everything that's going on in our lives. Without you, we are hopeless. But we thank you that these three things abide: faith, hope, and love. And so today we want to be able to communicate to our listeners faith, hope, and love. We want to communicate and send our love and prayer and strength and blessing over those that have been inundated with this storm coming up through New Orleans and Texas. We pray, God, for the salvation of lives, that you would save lives, that if anyone needs a rescue, God, that you would rescue them. And then, God, we pray restoration of property, and that you would bring people out of the turmoil. Lord, we know we go through the fire, we go through the water, but Psalm 66:12 says that you'll bring us out into a wealthy place. And so we set our sights to you because you said if we keep our minds stayed on you, you'll keep us in perfect peace. And we know that our best is yet to come. And so we will arise and build. And Lord, we just give ourselves to you as our partner. Holy Spirit, you are our senior partner. You're our best friend. And we know that you got our back. And so we thank you for having your way, even in this broadcast today. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Meet every need, Lord. Meet every need.
Yeah.
And so, riches and glory in Christ Jesus.
Yes. And I'm here with my friend, Jacinta and I, we go back a little bit. Actually, golf buddies. And hear her tell us she can whip me on the golf course.
Anytime.
But Attorney Mathis, you have been a blessing to my life. And when I thought, when Patrice told me that I get to host in his absence this podcast again, I wanted to bring people on that are very sensitive to the needs of the urban community and how we're planning to solve the problem. Not because we're the wisest people in the world, but we are wise enough to know that all things are possible through God. Mm-hmm. And if we'll believe, we know that God will use us because we've seen God use us time and time again
to be
a blessing to people. And he's been a blessing to us. And so his covenant says that we're blessed to be a blessing so that all the people of the earth, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So I want to start off just simply asking you about your experience. And you can take me back to the time that you encountered the Nehemiah Project, or we can go back further than them because you've got a very interesting story, how that, you grew up in New Orleans. And I hear because I've not tasted your gumbo yet, so I still got to prove
it. The best.
And so I hear it's the best. And then obviously you did your education. Tell the folk a little about yourself and how you have come to be who you are today.
Well, you know, Nehemiah came into my life when I was in transition. I had been married for 35 years to a wonderful man, and we were building a life together. He had stepped onto a global stage doing diversity and inclusion. He was doing things in Asia and in Mexico and in Brazil and over in Europe. And I thought that was going to be my life. I was going to be a corporate wife. I had kind of set my career on aside to really help him and to be supportive of his career. And then he died suddenly, and it shook my world. It took me a while to even get cognizant. But here I am 8 years later. I've been single, which was new for me, and I enjoyed being single and really started really pushing and moving forward in my career. I came back to Orlando, got involved with a couple of organizations that I had been involved in, and my pastor came to me and he asked me, he said, I've met this Patrice Segay, and I would like for you to work with us on the Nehemiah Project. And I said, you know, Bishop, I'm really focused on building my law firm and making a living for myself, and all this is pretty new. And he said, well, this will be good for you. And I really didn't believe him. But in the first class, the teachers were George Cope, and who is a tremendous pastor and also a business leader, Glenn Reppel, who owned 80 insurance agencies around the country. And they were teaching us about God's word and about building a business according to God's word. And, you know, I thought it was cute. You know, I challenged them on some issues. And then I was challenged when they started talking about profit, that God wanted us to make a profit with our business so we could sow back into the kingdom. And that was a whole new concept for me because I always knew about social service, knew about community service, And yes, I was a lawyer. I did real estate and I did wealth management, estate planning. And so it was the management of wealth. It was, you know, structuring deals so that they would benefit our community rather than be a burden. And I knew that, but he said it was okay to be profitable. And that concept in the Nehemiah teaching shook my world. But it was a great concept that I could charge for valuable services where I was adding value to clients. I could charge a reasonable amount for those services. And that's what Nehemiah kind of taught me initially. And then we got into business development, how to structure your business, how to have a mission, how your business, instead of being separate and apart from your commitment and faith, how your business was part of that commitment, and the merging of work and, you know, also the work that you do, but also the work that you do for the kingdom. And so that is where that was exciting. And I dove into that. And it really kind of gave me a new sense of purpose, a new sense of direction. And you can build a solid, sustainable business and also build it on the word of God. And also it changes how you treat people, your employees, how you work with your clients. I'm there to serve my clients. I'm there to help them not only see, help them with what they see, but also to help expand their vision to opportunities that opened up. And I adopted that, and I have been practicing in that way. I've also now, part of what I do is coach other business leaders. And so it's been a tremendous involvement. But then Nehemiah put me in a community, not just where I am here in Florida, and not just in the United States of America, but around the world. My first involvement, my first year or two involved in Nehemiah, I was judging businesses from in a business competition, and businesses were from Madagascar, were from Singapore, were from Canada, were from France. And, you know, so it broadened your outlook beyond your country's borders to more of a global stage on how to build your business, and also working and networking with other business leaders around the globe. So it's been a tremendous blessing and a tremendous opportunity.
So here we are. You're a real estate attorney. You're serving. You're healing from the loss of the death of your husband, and you're challenged to join this group of entrepreneurs, and you're hearing about this Nehemiah project, you know, and you enter in on this journey, you know, because you have a passion for the community that you've been raised in, and that you work in, and that you've been helping to bring answers to through your real estate attorney, your law practice. And so as you were challenged, tell me some of the additional processes that you went through. I know that you're a woman of prayer, right? But,
you know, let me tell you a story though. Because this is where I learned to beat Charles at golf. This is how I got here.
I'm gonna go spiritual first.
No, we're gonna go to the golf thing. You know, I was an attorney. I was practicing in one of the largest firms in town. I was working 70 to 80 hours a week. I love what I do. I have wanted to be a lawyer since I was a young kid. I used to hold court for my dolls. You know, and so becoming a lawyer was, you know, and the only lawyer I knew was Perry Mason on TV. And I know I've aged him. But becoming a lawyer was kind of like, it was amazing to me. It was like, this is what the Lord wanted me to do. And I really saw it as my work, not as part of my faith. And as I told you, I started merging that. Well, I started doing work with some churches. And I had a church. They came to me and they had a real estate deal. And they said, Jacinta, we'd like you to look at this real estate deal. We're going to close in a few days. We just want to make sure the documents line up. I looked at it and I got back with them and I said, look, if you can give me 3 weeks, I can get you a better deal than this. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, you know, we're about to close. We were already mobilized to for construction. Then I said, okay, it's up to you, but you let me know. So they got back with me and says, okay, you got 3 weeks. In 2 weeks, we were able to restructure the deal and save them $250,000 on the first year term of that loan. We also reduced the collateralization so that everything they owned wasn't at issue on this one deal. And so we did a couple of other things. They were amazed and thankful. They paid my bill. And then Elder Paul said, Jacinta, if you know how to do real estate like this, you need to be on a golf course. And they bought me a set of Lady Fox golf clubs.
Wow.
And so, you know, and I played at them. And then my son, who had growing up, not 13, 14, you know, and they kind of have a life of their own. And my husband and I wanted a way to just connect with him. And he was very sports minded. He played soccer. And he also enjoyed golf. So we started playing golf together and we got to spend 4 hours on a regular basis with just us and our son talking. Mm-hmm. And it gave us an ability to connect with him that we didn't have. So it was a way to connect with kids. But in addition, it gave me a way to expand my business because I found that there was a camaraderie that when I could talk about golf or we talked about going out and I'm going out on the golf course and spending, you know, if we're doing half, just 9 holes, 2 hours, if we're doing 18 holes, 4 hours with, you know, clients and getting to know people. So it built really strong relationships. And plus I was somebody called me an enigma once on the golf course because there weren't many people that looked like me.
Sure.
But Tiger Woods was tearing it up at that time. You know, this was in the 90s. So, you know, it gave me a way to reach people that I wouldn't necessarily know how to talk to. And then when I got involved with Nehemiah, my instructor, Glenn Reppel, like I said, I told you, had, you know, 80 affiliates around the country with insurance and wealth management. You know, here he was talking with me about our business, pouring into me, sharing with me opportunities that may arise. If I would have met Glenn Ripple 10 years before, there were some things I would have done differently in real estate. Mm-hmm. And so what Nehemiah gave me was a network and access to people who were successful, but also who were people of faith. Because at times you read some things and listen to some folks and they say, you know, do unto others before they do it unto you, you know, and they're not driven by biblical principles. But what I got in Nehemiah was not just the principles, but also the connection with those who are walking the walk and walking by faith. And so that empowered me. That gave me, it broadened my community. It broadened my client base. It broadened my business. And it enhanced everything that I was doing in my business world and in faith. And so then the pastor came to me and asked me if I would lead the prayer call at 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, I'm a morning person. I am. I would get up at 4 or 5 in the morning. So it fit me very well. And I have loved what the Holy Spirit is doing in reaching out to others, not just praying for our church community. We have people on that prayer call from all over the country.
Right.
And praying and interceding on the behalf. And I feel like we are doing the work of God. I told them the other day that what we are doing is praying and we are praying and it has eternal consequences. I know that my life is affected by the prayers of my great grandmother.
Sure.
Who lived in a totally different world. But the Bible in Revelations tells us that before the altar of God with the 24 angels, with the 24 elders, that they offered golden bowls full of the prayer of the saints. And it was an incense. It changed the atmosphere. And so our prayers, okay, let me calm down, changed the atmosphere. And so I found that with this, with focusing on prayer with a corporate group of people, yes, I prayed alone. I've done that. I used to say praying people are my kind of people. You know, that's my tribe, my group, mm-hmm. my crew, you know, but praying corporately is a whole nother dimension of influence in this world. And so even it's changed my viewpoint of this pandemic that we're in.
So you know, let me make a parallel here, right? So here you are, you're serving the community as an attorney, you're recovering, and you're challenged by your pastor to engage in community in a different respect and turn your business into your worship and your ministry to God. And then, like Nehemiah, you're actually moving along this journey and you begin to pray. And God gives you a plan, right? And so the plan is playing out before our eyes that as we continue to pray, because the steps of a good man and woman are ordered by the Lord, and when we give ourselves over to God, then God's got us. And we've got to have confidence. We've got to have faith. And we've got to rest in that faith. But yet we need to push forward. And so to our viewers today, as we're in this pandemic and this turbulent times, we have to stay focused on the vision, because Nehemiah was a man of vision. He got news about what was going on in Jerusalem, and the first thing he did was pray, and then God gave him a plan. Let's go in and rebuild these walls and then engage in community development. And oh, by the way, you're going to have to do some counseling, some coaching, because there are some families that have been affected by the negative things that are going on. So no one should lose hope at this time, because we have the principles of the Word of God to be able to plan our lives in accordance to with success principles from the Word of God. But here's the biggest part about it. It's not simply the principles that will give us success. It's the relationship that we have with God. So we do take time to pray. And then we strengthen ourselves by praying in community, the corporate prayer, the family that prays together, the believers that come together. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. We need each other. And then, oh, by the way, we can have fun doing it because we've got tools like golf. You know, I don't know if you realize, Jacinta, but the golf industry in this pandemic, this COVID-19, has grown by 30%. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing that, you know, yeah, it's people are out on the golf course because you can social distance. But even more so, they're building relationships. You and I are working on a project where we're bringing people groups together, white people, black people, Latino people, Asian people. We're bringing them together just so that we can have constructive relationships and build collaborative relationships so that we can do business together intentionally to rebuild inner city communities, urban communities, and just cities at large. And so tell me more about what you're envisioning. Now, I know you're working over in historic Eatonville. Tell me more about that.
Well, I am serving as chief administrative officer for the oldest black township in the United States of America.
Yes.
The town of Eatonville. And we're looking, the mayor has a vision that we become a smart, vibrant community. Mm-hmm. And so I am helping him with that vision, working in conjunction with the town council and the residents. We're looking to build a model community, a model predominantly African-American community that really brings us forward and becomes livable and builds prosperity for the residents here in Eatonville and impacting surrounding Central Florida. And so what that vision entails is also helping build the business community. So we're looking at like a virtual business incubator where we walk alongside entrepreneurs and help them. You know, one of the teaching sessions I had, this was for children, Mm-hmm. And the children were actually putting together business plans and starting their own businesses. And one of them, father, had a lawn care business. And so he kind of saw himself, you know, building the lawn care business and moving forward. And I said, you know, have you ever thought about the fact that the grass on the highway on 408, which is a highway here in Orlando, needs to be cut? And they hire people to do it. And those contracts are worth millions of dollars.
Sure.
And he said, well, no. I said, so you don't know about it. So why don't you, in your business plan, also set aside some time and energy and resources to look into this? Mm-hmm. Because if you help your father get one contract to do highways, you could, you know, multiply his business revenue beyond what he can imagine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's helping not only, you know, I have a doctorate degree. I love working. I've been in school, but there are some of us that have had different and more challenging experiences growing up, maybe even been to prison, but mm-hmm. And they get out of prison and can't find a job because they have this background, but we can help those people start businesses where they can operate and become highly successful in moving not only themselves and their families forward by building a lifestyle, building an income, building a business where they hire other people from the community. So it's really about building prosperity in communities, in neighborhoods.
Well, and that, when you think about the project, Nehemiah was a project manager, and he brought people together that actually contributed to the success of the community. They did build individual wealth, but then they built community wealth. And even more than that, they built kingdom wealth. And they built kingdom wealth by having a commitment to the leadership of Nehemiah. Here's a guy he's serving the king, and God puts it in his heart to bring solutions and to bring his influence and open up his social network, his social capital to individuals that were hurting. And he began to lead them and teach them principles. And I believe one of the principles that he taught them was having a commitment to excellence. And I know you because, you know, again, we're friends, we've played golf, we've talked a bunch, and we're working on some things together. And I know that you're a woman that's committed to excellence. How important is excellence as you help to revitalize Eatonville and as we're incorporating people that want to coordinate and cooperate and connect with us in these processes? How important is it for the young emerging leaders to be committed to excellence and committed to God's process of bringing them to that place where they can lead with excellence?
You know, your qualifications will get you to the door, but your reputation opens doors that you don't even know are there. Mm-hmm. I was asked to serve on the Greater Orlando Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. And I showed up. I was usually 10, 15 minutes early for all the meetings. I came prepared. I participated. And that opened opportunities, tremendous opportunities for me. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I was asked to serve on a statewide commission of 35 people that reviewed the state's constitution and made recommendations for changes that were on the ballot. That was a tremendous honor. I didn't seek it out. They called me and asked me if I would serve. Mm-hmm. There are doors that will open for you that you don't even know are there just by you doing what you have at your hands to do and doing it well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, and then even when I served on the Constitution Revision Commission, then they asked me 10 years later to serve on the tax and budget reform, making tax and budget policy for the state of Florida.
Wow.
You know, and those were things I could not imagine.
It's amazing because when you think in terms of where we are in the pandemic and all the things that are happening, we're just looking at what God really wants to do and what the goal is here today as the director of the Urban Impact Movement for Nehemiah is really to give people hope. We want them to stop looking at where you are and begin to look into a hopeful future. Because God has a plan for us, and he's got people like Jacinta and other people that he's positioned in places that are working on the behalf of the people to arrange circumstances and situations and opportunities. But you mentioned something, as we talk about excellence, you mentioned about showing up and being actually early and not just on time. So oftentimes people will show up and they're on time. Right. And their on time usually is late. And because, you know, if you're in Florida and you've got to deal with I-4 traffic and what have you, what happens is that individuals will just barely make it. Well, I'm a military guy, a U.S. veteran, an Army veteran, and we learned to be on time, you need to be at least 15 minutes early. And that's what you talked about. You talked about being 15 minutes early, being there because, you know, there are a couple of meetings that happen. It's the meeting, right? And then there's the meeting before the meeting. And then there's the meeting after the meeting. And so as we look at meetings and we look at opportunities and we're praying, you know, how many of you out there today that are praying for an opportunity? You're praying and you're asking God to do something for you, right? God, please help me because I don't know where my rent's going to come from. And please help me because I may have encountered some sickness or disease, or please help me because of these storms or all of the racial things that are happening. But yet we're not taking the time to grow ourselves. Now I'm a business coach, right? And so as we look at being a business coach, one of the things as a coach we do is to help to grow an individual. We help them to grow into the opportunities that they're praying for and that they're expecting God to do. And so as we look, as we work with you and we're talking about the Nehemiah Project, you know, I tell people, hey, my name is Charles and I'm your friend. My mission in life is to empower people to win. I want to empower you for your next big win. What is that? Have you taken time to write it down? Have you taken time to pray and believe God for the visions and the dreams that he has for your life? Well, if you haven't, we want to come alongside of you with the Nehemiah Project, where we provide training, we provide coaching, and we provide access to capital. Because a lot of entrepreneurs that I talk to, they'll say, well, I don't have access to capital, and therefore I can't get started. Phooey, that's an excuse. No more excuses. Because I believe that God is at work in your life because you prayed and you're a believer and you're asking God. Even if you have a grain of mustard seed faith, God is there for you and he's there to help you through these difficult times. We're not saying these times aren't difficult. And we know that people are committing suicide and we know that families are having a rough time because they have to homeschool their kids. By the way, my philosophy is, your kids are your responsibility, and so just own up to your responsibility, and God will give you creative solutions and bring the right people into your path to help you to train up your children in the way that they should go. But even as we commit to being overcomers, even as we commit to being more than conquerors and victorious in this day and hour, it's got to be a mindset, and that's what we teach at Biblical Entrepreneurship. We help people to develop a mindset to overcome. The scripture says, listen, don't be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? So it starts with the transformation of your mind and educating your mind and picking up a book. And we encourage you to pick up the Bible. And we encourage you to pray. I know my story is, you know, I didn't grow up in a church. We didn't grow up in a family that went to church. But one day I had an encounter with God while I was misbehaving out in the streets. And from that day on, I began to ask God to show me himself, right? And so as he showed me himself through the word of God, first way he's going to show you is through the scripture. So get yourself a Bible. In fact, grandma, grandpa, there's one probably a Bible somewhere that's real dusty. Go ahead and dust it off. and start reading the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will begin to lead you. But I want to encourage you, don't anticipate that God's going to lead you down a religious path, because he's really looking to have a relationship with you. And I believe that relationship will happen in the marketplace. Just as we've got attorney Jacinta Mathis, you know, her ministry has been in the marketplace. I know that she leads a prayer group for her church, but then she's also a fun-loving person that loves the game of golf, and she's very competitive. And I also know that she loves music, and she loves a lot of great things, but she's an example of what God, of a Nehemiah, a female Nehemiah that God has in the wings, waiting to mentor young people and help them to come along. So there is no reason for us to be without hope, right?
That's right.
And so we're in a place, you know, where as we pray, I like to say push, right? So we pray until success happens. Failure is not an option. And when we know that God's got our back and we trust with all of our hearts, as we read the scripture in Proverbs, we want you to know that God has solutions for us. Now, the solutions are going to stretch you. We're going to challenge you. We're going to say it's going to be different. It's not going to be a religious thing. It's going to be outside the four walls of your church. And it's going to be in the marketplace. And God wants you in that marketplace, whether you're, you know, a street sweeper. Dr. King said, if your lot in life falls to be a street sweeper, be the best street sweeper ever, yeah. Right? And so there is no service opportunity below us. And when we understand these things, then know that God has people like Jacinta Mathis on. She's ready to be on your team. She's ready to help you, to coach you, to serve, because that's what we are. We're servants of the Most High God, and we're in partnership with him. So it's good to have you back, Jacinta. I lost you for a minute.
Connect. They say old people in technology. and failure is not final.
It's exactly.
Failure is part of the journey to success.
Yeah.
And having that option, yes, you're going to have some failures.
Yeah.
But that's not the end of the story.
Yeah.
And it's just part of the journey of success.
Yeah. You know what I like to say about failure? Failure is your school.
That's right.
It's your classroom.
That's right.
To learn how to be successful. When other people think that you fail, when you have a vision and you know what God has promised you, and you're going to hold on like a bulldog with bulldog tenacity to the promise of God, God is faithful. And he will perform what he has promised to us. And so, yeah, failure is not permanent. And in fact, John Maxwell says, when you fail, make sure you fail forward.
Fail forward. That's right.
Fail fast. And then get up again. Get up from there. Dust yourself off. Right now, you may be experiencing what we might call failure, what some might call failure. It's part of your learning. And learn the lesson well. Because here's a point. In the kingdom of God, a test not passed is a test taken over again. And so how often are you going to take that same test, stop moping and groping, and get to praising God? Because in all things, he says, count it all joy. It's not joyful, but you've got to change your mindset and count it joy when you fall into diverse tests, trials, and tribulations. We all go through them. But those of us that refuse to lose, refuse. I was talking to a 29-year-old guy that we're going to have on our podcast, and he's going to write a book, and he's building a company. Very powerful guy that went through the foster child care system, and he learned a work ethic that is impeccable. And now he's a manager of a Starbucks there in Brooklyn, New York, my hometown, and is doing a very good job. And we're coaching him to his next level of winning and success. And his mantra is that failure is not an option. And he's been through a lot of things. And a lot of us have been through things. In fact, if you're on this earth, you've been through things. This 2020 has been a very trying year. But guess what, guys? We are more than conquerors through him that loves us and gave himself with us. And here's the point.
Yeah.
We can partner with Almighty God. So Jacinta, we're partnering together on a couple of things, but I want you to talk
about one point before we move on, because, you know, even in this pandemic, we need to be focused on the opportunities.
Yes.
Now, I've been following this estate planning organization for 4 years. I had not been able to afford to get involved with them. It was like five figures to get involved with them. I didn't have that kind of those kinds of resources for that effort. But I stayed in touch with them because they had great resources, they had great information, and I stayed in touch with them. And they have had these national conventions two times a year. I've never been able to attend. And then this year, they were having their convention in Las Vegas in March, and the pandemic hit. So they moved everything to an online forum, and they gave away a couple of free attendances. And I was able to get that. I was able to attend from my dining room a national convention that was right in line with the kinds of work I did. Excellent speakers who were actually involved in it. It was a wealth trove of information. But if I hadn't been looking for those opportunities in the midst of this pandemic, I would have missed it.
Yeah.
I would, you know, I say, oh, well, I got to stay at home. I got to isolate, you know, and I can't do anything, you know. But, you know, one of the things that always gets me moving forward is when I feel down, I recognize that one day I'm going to want to be up. Mm-hmm. And so I might as well get started now.
Get started now. Get up.
Moving forward. And so that's what it's about. It's about moving forward. If I can't take a big leap, if I can't change my whole house, I can clean one drawer. You know that kitchen drawer that has a bunch of stuff in it? I can clean it too. I can start there. I can start with what I can do. Okay, I can't, you know, I can't buy, you know, a big commercial piece of property years ago, but I could buy a house. So I'm going to work at, you know, it may take me a few years, but I'm going to do that. You know, I do real estate. I've been doing it for clients for years. And when we moved from Orlando to down into South Florida, I said, well, you know, rather than just buy a house, why don't we buy real estate? I knew that buying four units, you could still get residential funding. I knew the structure of the deal. So I started looking. I was looking at 500 different properties a day. Mm-hmm. And you can do it online because it's all virtual.
Wow.
I found a building. We bought it for $600,000. A year and a half later, did nothing to it. I did pay an architect $5,000 to do some conceptual drawings and a construction estimate. And I was able to sell that building with those conceptual drawings and estimate for $1.2 million.
Yeah.
Doubled my money. The people that bought it built those two, because I was turning it into two three-story townhouses, one with a pool on the roof. The people who bought from us built that those two townhouses, and it's now worth $3.8 million.
Yeah.
So it's about starting where you are.
Right. And it's about your mindset. When you have that mindset and that posture, right, you're able to arise and build, right? Yeah. Nehemiah is about building. It's about community and connecting. Okay. Isaiah 60, verse 1, it says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The glory of the Lord often rises upon you in dark times, dark seasons of your life.
And that's when the light shines brightest.
Yes. And so that's what God has called us to be, light in dark places. And so this is our time to shine. We've got people, we've got Zamana listening from Canada, and we got Sam listening from Asia, and they're commenting on the podcast, and they know, guys, listen, God has really positioned Nehemiah on five different continents. And we're moving about stealthily. We're moving about as an army, as a unit, to come together to be that light, to be that salt, to be the hope. People need hope. People need love. And they need faith to understand that as they move, as they pray, and they partner with God. This is the beautiful thing about working in urban communities. We're bringing hope to the hopeless. We're bringing light to the dark places. And we're allowing God to actually use us. And he's bringing about a bunch of people. You were at Nehemiah Week at the state of the ministry address.
Wow.
Tell me what you thought about that.
That was amazing. That was amazing. What Patrice has been able to do with this organization in this short period of time is miraculous, especially in the midst of these economic times that we're in. And I really believe that God is positioning us to expand the ministries. You know, my church, we would have 300-400 people there, but now we have 3,000 people that are seeing the virtual Sunday services on broadcast. You know what an expansion, it's an expansion of ministry, is an expansion of the voice, it is expansion of God's kingdom, and we're reaching all over the world. And we'll be able to unify and join hands together, encouraging one another, praising and worshiping together, and building one another up and building the kingdom of God.
Yes. And as we, you know, the scripture says, one of my favorite scriptures is over there in Psalms 130C. It says, how pleasant and beautiful it is for brethren to dwell together. It's like the ointment, the anointing of God, the power of God, the spirit of God dwelling down, running down Aaron's beard all the way down to his garment, covering the entire body and the power going all the way down to his feet. He says there God commands the blessing. And because of Nehemiah being a global ministry and affecting all kinds of people in all kinds of places. Just in the last couple of days, I was talking to someone from Malaysia, from Sam in Malaysia, talking to Frank over in Nairobi, Kenya, talking to my buddy Fred up in Michigan, and getting ready to jump off and talk to some folks over in Alabama, and talking to people in Atlanta. I told my wife today, I says, I've got about 9 meetings today. Right? That's, we started early in the morning, but we started with prayer. Guys, listen, prayer will place you in the heart of God, in the mind of God. And don't just bring your problems to God. In fact, stop doing that. I encourage you, when you pray, start with the answer. You can find the answer, God's will, in his word. God's word is God's will. And when you pray the answer, you already know that you got the solution that you're seeking, the petition that you require of him, and then go to praising God.
Amen.
You praise God, it opens up doors. First of all, the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. Here's what he doesn't inhabit. He doesn't inhabit the gripes and the complaints of his people, right? So if you want to repel God away, keep griping and complaining about the situation.
Yeah.
But if you want to attract God and want to attract his favor and his faith and his goodness, his mercy, you want to attract these things that already belong to you. All you're doing is like turning the light on. You're activating these things in your life. They belong to you already. And what we want you to do and what we're trying to do here is, first of all, again, give you hope. We want you to acquire a vision, because that's what it all starts with. And then we want you to build a team, and we want to be a part of your team building process. We want to come in and train your team. We want your team to understand their place and their position in the body of Christ. It's not going to be in the pulpit. I mean, it does. Everybody can't be in the pulpit, but everybody can be in the marketplace, and everybody can be a servant someplace. Find somebody to serve. And when you do that, then God is going to, because you have humbled yourself, God is going to promote you. He's going to exalt you. He's going to equip you. So, Jacinta, I want to ask you a question.
Uh-oh.
I want to go back to this golf.
Yes, I have a solid sandwich.
So we're working on this golf outreach, right?
Yeah.
Where we're able to help people, particularly young professionals or everybody that likes to have fun, anybody that likes to make money. And here's the big thing, anybody that wants to make a difference. And we're going to have these series of events at Top Golf. If you hadn't heard of Top Golf, go ahead and Google it. And we're just inviting people to come out, and we want to show people how to, first of all, build authentic relationships. But then we want to go beyond just simply building authentic relationships to building productive business relationships. Because I think that's one of the things that will help us to deliver our communities out of the degradation that some people find themselves. Now, everybody's in degradation. Not everybody's in an environment where they need help. But we have too many of us, too many of our people find themselves without hope, and we need to be able to rescue the hopeless. We need to be able to help them. We need to teach them how to be fishermen, how not just to get a fish, but we need to teach them how to run fish stores and fish restaurants and fish, you know, fisheries where you can go in and what do they call them, aquariums and all the things that you can do with fish, you know, be creative. But all these young people nowadays, they are so creative with these apps and these connections.
Phenomenal.
So those of us that are baby boomers, if you will, we get to coach these young people. And what God has given us is wisdom. I want you to talk about give us another story, because we talked about it a little bit, another story of how golf has really enhanced your life and your career. And what do you see going forward in the future as we're helping to raise money for nonprofits and we're helping to train up and create productive relationships? What do you see for the future and how we can have fun, make money, and make a difference?
Well, you know, I served on a community board that was raising money for children to teach children science, technology, engineering, and math skills. Mm-hmm. And they were having a real challenge being able to meet their budget and also wanted to expand to reach a broader audience. And so we put on a golf tournament. We were able to get people from Chicago and all over down here in Florida. We did it in conjunction with the NFL and the Pro Bowl when it was here in Orlando. And we were able to raise money to help. Now, it was the initial first year, you know, we were getting our sea legs together. And now we're moving forward to build that, to see if we can't broaden to support children's programs. Frontline Outreach, which is an inner city children's program that has worked very closely with Nehemiah. As a matter of fact, they started Nehemiah for Kids, Nehemiah Groups for Children. Mm-hmm. But I participate in a golf tournament with them every year, and they raise, you know, over $100,000 to $200,000 to help their programs. And it's important to be able to build their programs and build the outreach, and also, you know, and so golf is a way not just where you can network and build your business, but it's also a means that you can use to impact communities and community initiatives that are meaningful to you.
Sure.
Golf becomes a tool.
Yeah.
To help bring prosperity and abundance to communities that have been denied that for so long.
Yeah.
And empowering those communities. So Frontline Outreach, Bishop Alan T.D. Wiggins heads that, and it has been a tremendous blessing to that, and they've been able to reach children. And now they're building an education facility, Legends Academy, where they're educating children from cradle to college.
Yeah.
And, you know, making a difference in that Washington Shores community.
Sure. And so as we plan out these golf outreaches at Top Golf, and to benefit organizations like Frontline, it is important that we recognize that we're recruiting across a broad spectrum of individuals, because not everybody can go into urban communities, inner city communities, and make a difference. But everybody can make a difference. They can make a difference by giving to a gift of business and help us to train up leaders, help us to train up individuals that will actually, you know, start and grow companies that then hire people and create jobs in these communities. And those businesses that create the job, they own the job, and then individuals will cycle through and they'll go to university, they'll go to college. But here's the key, they'll come back to the community to continue to improve those businesses. And, you know, they'll help to create places like Eatonville, right? As we help to revitalize Eatonville, and we make a, you know, I love the concept of a sister city, you know, imagining DC being a sister city to Eatonville, and folks from up north, when it gets real cold and snowy up there, come down to Florida. And by the way, you can play golf all year around. And there's great shopping, and there's Disney World, and there's great music, and there's great eating, and there's just a great lifestyle that goes along with doing the work of the kingdom. God is calling us to do a work in this day, and he's looking to rally his believers. And we're making it easy for our friends that have resources. And then we're making it easier for our friends that don't have resources. And we're bringing the haves and the have-nots together so that we can unlock the brilliance that's resident in individuals that have not had the opportunity, right? And so we're giving them an opportunity. I believe this, that God has a solution for COVID-19. He has answers for the social unrest. He has answers for the political polarization that we're in. He's got leaders that need to be trained up, and the best is still yet to come. And I'm so glad for the Nehemiah Project that we get an opportunity to participate in training up those biblical entrepreneurial leaders that will have a mind, a heart with God. They'll walk with God and they'll partner with God. Imagine this, a partner partnering with God as your business partner and having business meetings with God and saying, God, listen, here's what's on the agenda today. We need your wisdom. We need your help to overcome this problem. There is nothing that God cannot solve, and he wants to use us to do it.
Amen. Amen.
So this is an exciting time. I am so excited about the day that we're living in. Even though people sometimes they look at the news. And by the way, I said this on the last podcast, stop watching the news. Check the news, but don't watch it, because you are the sum total of what you digest. And if that's what you're digesting, right, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Why not spend more time reading your word, reading the Bible, listening to teachings and tapes, and now you've got preachers all online. You find your favorite preacher and get a steady diet of the word as you like it. You can have those that love to you know, harmonize and sermonize and hoot holler and teach, and what's your choice? Pick your choice, but make sure that you're getting someone that's going to empower you with the positive word of God, because God is not through with you yet, beloved. He's not finished with you yet. And so we want to, today my goal was to make sure that we give you hope, to make sure that you understand the love of God, to make sure that God has a that you know that God has a plan to deliver you out of the bondage, but you've got to go to him and you've got to ask him, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Lord, and be my Lord and Savior. Stop trying to run your own life. If you're a business person, stop trying to run your business without God. You don't just go to church on Sunday and the rest of the week belongs to you. No, that's too stressful. But partner with God and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. Hey, check us out at myurbanempire.com. That'll take you right to the Nehemiah portal. You'll see the training that we have. You can contact me at charles@nehemiahproject.org, or you can contact Jacinta Mathis at, what's it, jacintamathis@gmail.com. Because guys, put that up. And by the way, I want to thank our crew. I mean, they're in the background running this podcast. They're a whole bunch younger than us, and we thank them because they're in different parts of the world doing this, right? This is just an amazing, amazing season for us, amazing time. And so as the body of Christ, we come together to empower God's people to win. That's what this is about. Stop thinking that you're alone. You've been praying for solutions, right? And we've got solutions. Some of you work corporate, right? You work 9 to 5. You got the security of your corporate job. But beloved, I want you to understand that your job is just God's beginning for you. It is not God's ending.
Amen.
God wants you to matriculate through the cash flow quadrant where you are self-employed and you have a business working for you, and then you have investments working for you. And you can do that. If you're young, you can do that all at one time. But eventually you want to be able to refire, because I don't believe in retiring. You want to refire over here in this investment quadrant and be able to invest and have your money working for you.
That's right.
Rather than you working for your money through real estate. You can hire Attorney Mathis. She'll help to put the real estate deal together for you, right?
I love doing deals.
Yeah, yeah. We're just so excited about what God's doing through the Nehemiah Project. And we thank you for tuning in to this podcast today. And we hope that we've been a blessing to you. I want to thank you, Jacinta, for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Charles. It's always good to be here with you.
So as in our tradition here at Nehemiah, I want to ask you, Patrice, is one of his favorite questions. So as it pertains to the future, are you hopeful or are you without hope? Do you see great things coming, or you think we're going down the tubes?
I serve a God, the same God my great-great-grandmother served and looked to and said, Lord, you are my shepherd and I shall not want. I serve that same God, and her prayers are still at work, activated, making a difference for me and my children and my grandchildren now. So I am more than hopeful. I know that God has made a way and he is doing a new work. And I am just looking to be sensitive, to be open, to be his hands and his feet, and be a part of what God is doing, this new thing that he is doing this day. Yeah. I am excited.
Yeah. And so we invite our Facebook friends, we invite our Nehemiah friends, come on, arise and let's build from the inner core. Thank you for tuning in today, and we'll see you the next time.
Sounds good.